Who knows what the word gospel means? Good news. And so we want to talk today about the good news of the gospel. There, unfortunately, are many gospels floating around. We have the four in your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But after they were written, there were some other things that were written in the second and third century called Gospels, kind of a projection of Greek philosophy, more or less, and they would attach the names of different apostles or leaders. Or they have the Gospel of Mary, the Gospel of Judas, and so they have some of those around. And some today will use those and kind of lay them on the same on a balance and say, well, which ones are we going to take? And of course, the ones that were clearly written in the second and third century were not written by who they said they were. And also, they give a different kind of Jesus. They had a lot of weird things. Just look up in a Bible dictionary about gospel or Gnostic gospels. There also was a social gospel. How many remembers when the social gospel was big? I was in the Lutheran church, and that's not to say anything bad about Lutherans, but it's just that they had a social gospel. So they were concerned about feeding the hungry. That's a good thing. Poverty and lifting people up and all the things that have to do with the social. But they prioritized the social message over the salvation message. If somebody's hungry, you feed them. You don't wait. But on the other hand, the purpose of the gospel or the message of Christ was to give people more than just food or a place to stay. It was to give them eternal life. And that's definitely more important. And then there are what's called today the prosperity gospel. And it's a teaching that proclaims that every true Christian should always, or eventually, I'm not sure exactly how it goes, be healthy, happy, and prosperous financially. And we know there's a lot of very, very dedicated Christians that don't have a lot. And there's Christians that suffer. And there are Christians that have to deal with many things. And so, we want to be careful when we talk about the gospel that we're presenting what God proclaims as the gospel. What is the good news? What is the focus of our attention? Because one of the things I find in the Church of God and other churches that people will focus on a part of the message of God so that they don't have to deal with the real message of God. They will focus on, say, prophecy or a health message or some other type of message they will focus on, and here's the gospel. And it gets focused on so much that they miss the heart of what God is calling on us to do and be. In other words, God is interested in the salvation of your soul, and there's one name under heaven whereby we may be saved. Right? There's one. And so if we focus, Satan doesn't care if you just, he wants you to become a sinner and he wants you to fail, but he doesn't care how he distracts you from the reality of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care. He's just as happy if you're focused on righteousness by works. He's happy if you do that, if that's all you're going to do is just kind of put yourself in a grind that I'm going to obey this and do that and do the other. And that's not to say that works are bad, good works, or obedience. That's not to say it's bad, but that's the focus. Or he doesn't mind if you focus on prophecy, as I mentioned, or focus on what liberties we have, as long as you kind of liberty yourself out of doing what's right. But it is so easy, and he will not necessarily tempt you with sin. He'll just find a way to get you off the message, won't he? Let's read Galatians chapter 1, because Paul had worked in the Galatians church and worked with them, and they had lost their way. They had lost their way. By the way, you can even get off on good things, too. You know, you can get off on good things and miss the best thing. You know, if your church is only about music, say, and that's what you want to have, all music, and miss. See, the music worships God. The worship focuses on God, and all of it coalesces in Jesus Christ. Let's see what Galatians says. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, another gospel, he says in the King James, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. They're trying to either weaken it, add to it, or change it. But even if we or an angel of heaven should preach another or preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than that which you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win approval of human beings or of God? Human beings or God? Am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach to you is not of human origin. You see, they had two competing factors at that time that were trying to win over the Christians. You had the people from the Jewish side trying to convince them to go back into Judaism. Then you had the philosophical side, the Greeks, trying to get them into this Gnostic gospel. And like I said, Satan didn't care which way they went, just as long as they got off the real gospel. And so in Galatians, he's talking about this. He says, it's not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult with any human being. He wanted to preach exactly what God had given him. The Gospels tell the story of the written Gospels tell the story of Jesus, but Paul tends to explain it and put it into a form that was to be applied in the personal life and in the church. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But we want to be sure that we get this gospel right. one of the things that makes it right is whenever the gospel is centered around Jesus Christ, any other focus is a dangerous focus. The gospel, everything comes or emanates from Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the message of the Bible, all needs to be centered on Christ, and we get off on a tangent and focus on this one thing, but if it doesn't lead us back to Christ, in fact, I will say any sermon that's preached that does not lead us to Christ might be a little bit of a waste of time. Because He is the way, the truth, and life. He came to deliver the truth. And what He said, the things He said, if we build our lives, our perception, our understanding on that, we're building it on a rock. This is the foundation upon the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone of our thinking and ideas and way of approaching things. In John chapter 5:39, Jesus is arguing with some people, and He gives this interesting nugget here. He says, "You study the Scriptures diligently." Now, who was He speaking to? Jews, and they studied the Scriptures diligently. They memorized, they understood it, they understood every detail of the ceremonial things of the Old Testament. They knew exactly what the priest should wear and how many times to do this and what to do then. And they had it, what they understood that they how to cleanse a, do you know you can have a leprous house, an unclean house? And they knew exactly how to fix that, or how to, if somebody has a kind of a white spot in their head, they knew how to fix that, what to do. They knew it verbatim. They knew it in every sense, the detail. But even they, whenever it came face to face with the Son of God, they missed Him. They missed Him. You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Now notice the word think, that you have eternal life. Even knowing the Scriptures backwards and forwards, if you miss the heart of what is trying to say, you have missed the point. It says, these are the very Scriptures. Now, he's talking about the Old Testament at this point, because the New Testament was being written or hadn't been written. And he says, these are the very Scriptures that testify about Me. If you want to, now some of this is a little crazy. They'll go a little too far with it. But you want to do a little search. Do a search on all the Scriptures that point to Christ in the Old Testament. All the ways that point to Christ. And I started listening to this. It was a kind of a YouTube. Don't listen to everything on YouTube, by the way. You need to know how to sift it out, the good and the bad. But I was amazed. At every point, Jesus is there. Jesus is pointed to. Jesus is the focus. All the Scriptures come together in Jesus Christ. And, of course, the New Testament, that's what they're obsessed with. Who Jesus is, what He did, what He taught, how we should live in Him. Both testaments are a testament is like a testimony or testifying. The Old Testament is the Old Testament because it's older to the testimony or the testament to Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that when we're looking at these Scriptures, they're both pointing us to Jesus Christ. He is the message of the gospel then. What's the message of the gospel? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The center of the message of the gospel. The message of the church. Whenever we talk about this transforming vision into reality, the reality we want to reach is where we are centered on Jesus Christ. Christ-centered. and any other message needs to be carefully looked at. Any other message. There is one message, and that is Jesus Christ. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 tells us of the dangers that even the early church had faced whenever they were fighting these things. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every spirit. Folks, there are not only people that are talking, but there is spiritual influences. And I believe that there's a spiritual warfare going on right now. Maybe in your heart. Do I want to receive Jesus? Is he the Lord of my life? Am I willing to give up this thing that I'm doing that's wrong? Am I ready to devote my whole life to him? There is a spiritual warfare going on right now. And he says, do not believe every spirit, every whim or every thought that you might have may not be from God. And you have to, it says here, but test or try the spirits and see. These are Christian people he's talking to, people that have been saved and sanctified and living in the Holy Spirit. He says, you need to test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So you have the spiritual realm, you have the false prophet realm. And if it was bad back then, I'm telling you, it's a lot worse right now. So how can we know? How can we be sure? How can we be aware of what the false prophets and the false teachers and the false ideas that kind of creep into our brain? How can we be sure? He says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Now you might say, well, that's easy. Who would question whether Jesus was here in the flesh? But you got to read the whole thing. He says that Jesus has come in the flesh. You've got to understand his role and his authority before he was born. You've got to understand what he did while he was here and what it means. And then you've got to know that he's on the right hand of the Father right now. That he had come in the flesh. And of course, there were those, the Gnostics didn't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. That was one of their primary things. They thought he was had to come in a kind of a spiritual apparition, yes, he was there, but he really wasn't there type of thing, because the flesh, they believe that the flesh is evil. This is evil, intrinsically evil. Now, the fleshly part of my heart does have a problem, but the physical human being, you know, they kind of separate the soul and the spirit and the flesh and the body. I mean, the spirit and the body, and they say the spirit's all good and the body's all bad. No. Folks, whenever you get married, you become one flesh. And that's a reality. And that's a good thing. That's a God thing. We eat good food and enjoy it. That's okay. And when we're resurrected, we're not resurrected a spirit, we're resurrected a body. We'll have a new body, a spiritual body, not subject to the corruption of this flesh. And so don't believe every spirit. Test and try the spirits and check the authenticity of what you hear. But every spirit that does not acknowledge that Jesus has come from God, this is the spirit of the Antichrist. What? Now they kind of, all kinds of stories about who the Antichrist is and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, brothers. The Antichrist has been here from the time of John. And the Antichrist is everything, every imagination, every thought, every word, every deed that is against Jesus Christ. Antichrist. Now, that might culminate in a person at some point, but I'm telling you, Antichrist is all over the place. The Antichrist which you have heard is coming, and even now already is already in the world. So what is this nugget or this emphasis of the gospel? What is it about? What are we talking about as the heart of the message of the gospel? How do we understand it? We're just going to go through some of these real quickly. Well, maybe not quickly, but we're going to go through them one way or another. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus is alive. The heart of the gospel of Christ is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is alive. Now, brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preach to you, which you have received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Did you see that? Do you see those words? Of first importance. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins. An understanding of Christ's death, not as a martyr, but a willing death in payment for our sin debt. That he was buried. He actually did die on that cross. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The resurrection is the power over death. And that he appeared to Cephas and to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me, and I was one that was born as abnormally born. This message of Jesus, we've got to get it right, and that's where we stand. That's the center of who we are. Our obsession has to be Jesus. Our focus has to be on him. In John 20, we're going to skip a passage there, John 20, it says, now Thomas, 20 verse 24, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know, we haven't experienced that, what Thomas did. But we have the testimony, the verified testimony of the scriptures. And the question is, can we believe in Jesus with all our heart? The Ethiopian eunuch was there, and he said, what do I have to do to be baptized? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. anything that points us in another direction, to another place, to another focus, is dangerous. Anything. It can be a preacher, it can be a song, it can be a philosophy, it can be a theologian, anything that points us another direction, we need to be suspect too of it. Because it will lead you astray. Scott, I'm glad you're here. I appreciate that. Thank the Lord that you come. And what you said about your son, I don't know how people deal with that. I know there are some here that deal with that. But anyone who does not know Jesus is lost. Whether they're messing up their life or whether they happily married and living happy ever after, anyone who does not know Jesus is lost. And the question is, how do we bring them? What do we say? Sometimes I feel like, what am I going to say to this person? They know more about the Bible than I do. What do I say to this person? They know all the answers. Well, there has to be a heart conversion. You can know all the answers, but if you don't have a heart conversion, and you don't, there's a formula. I don't like formulas much, but here's one I'll give to you in John chapter 1, verse 12. And that formula is, I'll read it in the King James, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What's the formula? The formula is believing in Jesus, added to receiving him into your heart and into your life. That equals, that gives you the power to become the sons of God. That is the gospel message. That's what it's all about. The transforming power. In fact, chapter 1 of Romans, it says that is why I was eager to preach the, Paul speaking, the gospel also to you who are at Rome. For I am not ashamed of the simple, easy, plain gospel message. I am not ashamed of the gospel. The centrality of Christ. The centrality of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, I don't know anything else to preach. Jesus Christ, he died for your sins. He rose again. He's at the right hand of the Father. I don't know anything else to preach because that is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteous will live by faith. We believe, we receive Jesus, and he gives the gift of salvation. Jesus said a little bit enigmatically, get that word right. Who can say it? Enigmatically. Enigmatically? I don't know. Anyway, in a mysterious way. I know what it means. In a little bit of a mysterious or puzzling way, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, he was speaking of his death on the cross, but it's to us too. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The person that lifts up Jesus will be a witness to Jesus. The church that lifts up Jesus will share his glory and will be a witness to Jesus Christ. I don't want you to be drawn to our unique doctrines. I love our doctrines. I believe they're true. I don't want you to be drawn to, I don't have to worry about you be drawn to an eloquent speaker. I don't have to worry about that. But I don't want you to be drawn to me. I don't want you to be drawn to the nice building we have. I want you to be drawn. I don't want you to be drawn to the music. Some people say we have good music, and I like the music here. It's fun. But I want you to be drawn to Jesus. He is the one that can save you. He is the one that can keep you. And he is the one that will give you eternal life. And so I just pray that our message will be Jesus. We have on our sign out there, Church of God, Seventh Day of Alfred, where Jesus is Lord. Let's close our time with a hymn. Sorry I went a little long.